We turn again in the Bible to this time to Psalm 116. And this will also be the text for this evening. Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed. Even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I love the Lord. Do you? Might be a strange question to ask, especially as we gather as God's people together in worship a second time on this day to give thanks to him. But we can be here for all different sorts of reasons. And I would hope and pray that the primary reason for coming here is because you too say, I love the Lord. You see, love for God is the beginning of all thankfulness. And it is how this psalm starts. We can have all sorts of reasons to be thankful to God. Think about Psalm 136, which we read before, and every line is a new reason that gives thanks for the faithfulness of God, another motive, and yet underlying them all is a love for the Lord. In the same way, Psalm 116 gives a whole host of reasons. And yet underlying them all again is this miracle of grace. A miracle of love from God and his salvation brought home to us in Jesus Christ. Underlying all thankfulness is the miracle of the forgiveness of sins, that indescribable wonder of being called the children of God, of knowing that we are heirs of the covenant, given full access to the Father through no effort of our own, but simply because of the character of God in faithfulness and patience and long-suffering and kindness. And so all thankfulness except that which is driven by love, is a dim reflection. It is a poor second cousin. It is a casual acquaintance. We love because God first loved us. Through God's love, we are redeemed. and encased within God's love, we offer our thanks. Without love, thankfulness is simply going through the motions. It's a requirement met, an obligation fulfilled. Without love, all our lists of things to be thankful for are simply items received, responses ticked off, appropriate words spoken. And so let me ask you again, do you love the Lord? Is that your primary reason for giving thanks? If you had to list all the reasons that you could give thanks to God for, would your first thought be simply because I love Him so much? What a beautiful way to begin. A beautiful way to begin a psalm. A beautiful way to begin our gratitude. A beautiful way to begin each day. A beautiful way to begin whatever is facing us, whatever we are looking forward to, and possibly even that which we are dreading. Yet we can begin it all with our thoughts focused on God and thinking, I love the Lord, and it is that foundation upon which we build our life. It is that foundation upon which we teach and are taught. It is that which drives our example, our witness, our day-to-day interactions with friends and family and children and those around us. For when God's love is in us and our love is returned to the Lord, then everything else is shaped and colored by that very love. Because we know this, don't we? That our love for the Lord can only exist because of His love for us. And even more, we would struggle to pass on this, the truth of such a love that really is indescribable and incomprehensible if we ourselves had not received it. And if it had not taken a root into our hearts and was busy transforming who we are. If we are unable to embrace the love of God, express the love of God, describe the love of God, reason upon and deliberate on the many joys that we have in the Lord, this is then what shapes and frames our response as we seek to live out the commands to love God and our neighbor. It is that which enables us to love Him in all our earthly blessings and to love Him without a single earthly blessing. At heart, our real delight and joy is found in living each day in God's presence. For life without God is no life at all. It is living each day with His guidance. It's living each day upheld by His strength. And it's only when that foundation is there, when that secure foundation is that upon which we stand, can we then go on and explain why we love the Lord. Why we can be so thankful through highs and the lows of life. Because as we've seen over the past few months, there are many reasons to perhaps not be so joyous. I mean, how many of you really enjoyed lockdown? I did actually too, but anyway. Things happen, apart from the fact that my wife's been locked up in Perth for the last 4 months, right? Everything isn't always perfect in life. And yet, as Psalm 136 reminded us, what was that refrain? God is faithful. God is true. God is always there. God is directing, God is leading, God is teaching, God is using it all. And all of it to bring us and draw us ever closer to Him. As Jesus reminds us, He never leaves us or forsakes us. And so the psalmist gives some thoughts that expand this love for the Lord. And he says, because he heard my voice. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Think through what blessed truth is taught there. God is within earshot. Always. Even though he has the whole universe to look after, that's a pretty big job. He hears our every single word. He understands our every thought. He clearly receives even our mumbled requests and the ones we simply cannot articulate or put into words. Even more beautifully, the psalm describes how he turns his ear to us. He leans over. He makes sure he hears every syllable, every word, not just hearing, but listening. And I suspect all you husbands know the difference when it comes to listening to your wife. He understands our deepest needs even more than we do ourselves. And even though he is the living, eternal, almighty, all-powerful God, he is intimately concerned with every detail of our lives. Yes, he knows our weaknesses. He knows our sins. He knows our daily struggles with who we ought to be as parents, as workers, as students. He knows the reality of what we really are. In times of uncertainty and doubt and weakness, he is the one who hears. He is the one who saves us regardless of what we have done. He is the one who is constant, whom we can turn to at any time for mercy, knowing that all who come to him, he will never turn away. He is the one who guides our path, who provides wisdom for every stage and decision and pathway of life, who knows what the future holds and already has that also in his firm grasp. In fact, he is the God who hears and answers all our prayers according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. Our Lord, I love the Lord, for he hears my voice. I love the Lord, for you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death. The psalmist had felt the very jaws of death close around him, yet God answered his pleas for deliverance and salvation. And is that not really what the gospel is all about? Life out of death? Is there any miracle greater than this, for which our love for God simply overflows? Is there anything more precious than this that we should strive for in our own lives and the lives of those around us? Jesus asked the question, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world but loses his soul? What's more valuable than our eternity, our existence, our image of God, which is to be with him? What good does it do if we spend our days amassing wealth, filling our time with the trivialities of this world, yet neglect to ponder that even our very life is a gift, that our every moment is a treasure, and that every breath is to be breathed in praise to God? What good does it do if we only live for ourselves and our neighbors and our friends and our families end up thinking that that is what is important in our life? It is God alone who delivers from death. It is in Christ alone that we can and will live forever. It is in the blood of Christ our Savior that our sins are washed away and we are declared righteous before God. And so when this God comes, and he delivers us from death and grants us this glorious life, what else can we do but simply look upon him and say, Lord, I love you, for you have delivered my soul from death. The psalmist says, I love the Lord, for you, O Lord, have delivered my eyes from tears. At times there is sorrow in our lives. But think of what sorrow we have avoided in knowing Christ as Saviour. The comfort that is there through all of our struggles. That when we fall into sin through weakness, we do not despair nor doubt His grace, for He is a gracious God. And in His love, He wipes away every tear from our eyes and reminds us and points us to this reality that is ours in Christ, that He will wipe away every tear from our eyes, no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain. And every day again, the joy of sharing even these sorrows with Him, the one who knows what we go through and says, cast all your burdens on me and I will give you rest. And even through then the tears of our sorrows, we rejoice. It is only those of faith who can stand even at a graveside and sing of the great mercies of the Lord. For He delivers our eyes from tears. We weep, but not as those without hope. Our tears have sunshine breaking through, for no sadness can last when the Lord of life has wrapped His arms around us and says, I will never, ever let you go. No sorrow can be sustained when we know that there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I love the Lord, for you, O Lord, have kept my feet from falling. How often have we experienced that? How often have we come to times of temptation? And sometimes a whispered word, a curious thought, a common intervention. And we take a different path. And God keeps our feet from falling. As God guides our feet, He grants us the wisdom and the courage to direct our lives, to make the decisions that affect the day, the week, the month, and the years. And in faith we live with the knowledge that He will work them all for the good of those who love Him, His precious covenant children. Because the salvation God gives is not just for the future, but it is effective every day. As He transforms us more and more into the image of Christ, as we walk our daily road of temptations, as we continue to battle with sin, as we hope and pray for the growth of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and He is eager and rejoices as we have what we see possibly as our tiny victories. As we take the right actions and take the time to praise Him, as even in our doubt and struggle, He holds us. And again, never lets us go. For He is with us always, even to the end of the age, which means that even all of us and in all of our life can trust Him to hold us. And even in defeat, when we have given in to temptation and the pain of that weakness burns strong in our hearts, and the sorrow flows because of the ache that torments our soul, God wipes away the tears that should flow forever. And He puts His arms around us and He promises that certainty of complete forgiveness. And He remembers our sins no more. You see, even as in sin is no joy and no contentment and no peace, in God is all peace, pure contentment and endless songs of joy. I love the Lord, for the Lord has been good to me. In one way, that really sums it up, doesn't it? I mean, I really hope all of us can say that. The Lord has been good to me. How often do we look back on life and see God's blessing and see God's care and see God's provision, the moments and the months, the turning points, those times of truth, the most mundane daily provision through to the staggering excesses of His amazing grace. The Lord has been good to me. I mean, we live each day knowing we have food to eat in abundance. We have wardrobes filled with clothing to wear, even bright shirts like this. We have homes to live in, most of us with so many rooms that we don't even use them all. So much wealth that we can enjoy daily luxuries. We enjoy the life God gives. These are the obvious blessings, the common, the everyday, that yet they too demand our thanks, our praise, our gratitude, our expression of love to the Lord. And then when we have gone through all of this, and this is simply a sampler of what life is about and what life looks like, as our feet struggle, our eyes tear, as we think about all of those things that face us, and we know that God sustains us through all of them, then the question truly becomes that which focuses in our response. How can I repay the Lord for all His goodness to me? And as good reformed people, we all say, we can't. There is nothing we could ever do or bring that could repay God for the life He has given. The forgiveness He has brought, the sacrifice of His only Son. That's why it's called grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. And yet it is the logical question. Because it is in us that when someone blesses us richly, we want to respond. And so we ask ourselves, as we ask each other, how can I repay the Lord? And at its very heart, it's a very personal question. Because the proper response is that which God commands, and that is to believe in the one that He sent. It is a question we must all answer for ourselves as adults and as children, because no one can be saved through the faith of a friend or a parent or another person. The only response is to thankfully and joyfully believe and receive that salvation, which in itself is an amazing gift. After all, without faith it is impossible to please God, as stated in Hebrews 11:6. And only by faith are we able to do that which is good, as the Catechism reminds us in question and answer 91. And once that step of life is taken, it is a step that grows. And so we continually ask ourselves, how can I repay the Lord? How can I give Him thanks? How can I show my love to Him for all He has given and done for me? And this is an ever-present question. For the life God gives is not about tomorrow. It's not a hypothetical possibility of some future heaven. It is also here and now. It is a life that in every moment is a gift from the Lord and then directed back to Him in thankfulness. It is about following the Lord's commands. It is about being obedient in joy. It is about thankfulness in worship, in work, in study, in family, in rest and relaxation. And so it's a personal question. It's an ever-present question. It's also an insistent question. And it's an unrelenting question. It's not something we can wait until tomorrow to answer, or next week, or next year, or whenever we think we might have the time. For our obedient response to the Lord is one which is required today. It is required now. Commitment is not flexible. Worship is not a take it or leave it. And it certainly isn't just a Sunday thing in comparison to the rest of the week. As God is Lord and as He has saved us, our obedience can never be arbitrary or subjective, but it is all of life. And the psalmist reminds us of that. How will I repay the Lord? I will call on Him as long as I live. There we see too that repaying the Lord isn't a matter of rules and regulations. It's not coming up with the right amount each week or month, like mortgage or rent. It's about a relationship. It's about living life in the presence of God. It's about calling on the name of the Lord as long as I live. It is, in that sense, a lifelong prayer of thanks and praise. That every breath we take is a daily conversation. That every moment is a delight in sharing all things with our God. That every heartfelt need and desire is brought before Him, submitted to Him. And in all of this, that recognizing that without Him we have nothing, but in Him we have all we need. That, in a sense, is what Paul means when he talks about prayer without ceasing. Knowing that all the wisdom we need and the guidance we require can only come from God. But more than that, it's about Him who delights to give us everything, who delights to live in relationship with us, and even more poured out upon us who love Him because, again, He first loved us. Calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on Him with every struggle, every burden, every need, every joy. And in so doing, as the psalmist says, I take up the cup of salvation. I drink the joy of forgiveness down to the last dregs. I taste the wonder of close and intimate fellowship with the Lord Most High. I rejoice in the privilege of worshiping together as God's people. We rejoice in the encouragement of one another as we walk together in faith. We challenge one another to keep our vows to the Lord, to bring our gifts and offerings, for precious in the sight of the Lord are all His saints, you and me, and all God's children. And so we conclude. But it's not really a conclusion. It's just a beginning. The sermon may be over, but not our thanksgiving. That never ends. We go forward. We begin anew each day. We go to sleep with this thought in our mind, and we wake up in the morning with these words on our breath, as the psalm does. I love the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, it's actually quite amazing that the psalm can begin with such a burst of feeling, of emotion, and of truth, reflecting Your love to us. That, Lord, when we look at life, when we think of all that we face and all that we are and all that is in us, and we see Your hand at work, and we experience Your love and Your grace and Your provision and Your mercy, then we too simply say, we love You, Lord. And we ask, how might we show our gratitude, display our thanksgiving? And as we do that, we call upon Your name and we praise You with everything that we are. In Jesus' name, amen.